committed. You know, there are about three words in the Greek and the Hebrew, envious, jealousy, and zealous. They all have basically the same prime. It means to have a warm feeling towards what is right, and also to have a warm feeling to what is wrong. And naturally, a good person, warm feeling, is loving the Father and a little bit of indignation to correct what is wrong. And a person that is wrong is very zealous and has a warm feeling to doing what is wrong. So, with that having been said, with a chance maybe of confusing a few people, hope not, let's get into Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to let committed, because you're going to either commit yourself or you're not, okay? And by that I mean to understanding our Father's Word, to serving Him rather than the world or anyone else. So let us begin then. Proverbs 24, verse 1. Be not envious, there's our word, committed, against evil men, neither desire to be with them. I mean, your commitment is to stay as far away from them, to correct them, to have nothing to do with them, to put them out of business. Okay, that's what true commitment is. Verse 2. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Whether it's in a family, a county, state, or a nation, this still applies. Evil men destroy. They tear down. They never build up. They never use common sense. And that is a dangerous thing to a family, a county, a state, and a nation. So you want to always think positive and build. Don't tear down. You know, common sense causes you to use wisdom to stay within your means and be responsible for what you have. Verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. In other words, that's common sense. By common sense, it's established. Wisdom builds it. You take it brick at a time, praying to the Father, understanding, working at it, using common sense, keeping evil away. One thing you sure don't want to do is if you're going to build a house, if it only costs $5,000 to build it, don't go borrow $20,000 to hire some special technicians that you can do better than they can anyway. Okay, don't go in debt for ignorance, in other words. Okay. Unfortunately, with many unions in this nation, you've got to be real careful who does your work for you. And that's not to say anything against unions, it's crooked unions. Okay. Verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That's the way you get ahead, okay, is by knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? The Word of God. Verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Why? Because God gives the power to accomplish things, the knowledge to accomplish things. Or what is it? You're a nothing, okay, without Christ, without our word, without the truth. So never be envious because some people, by being crooks, seem to get ahead. They don't. Okay. It is sure-footed, love of God, responsibility, knowledge from God that gets you ahead permanently, that keeps you there. I'm speaking eternal now even. Verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselor there is safety. Unfortunately, many people won't listen to good advice wherever it is on the ground. When you're in the war, if you appoint a general, he's right up front. He pretty well knows what's happening. If you're sitting at a desk many thousands of miles away, you have a hard time getting the feel of what's actually happening. So you listen to those people. And you credit them. And so it is. Unfortunately, we seem to be lacking in many of these things today. Verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool, He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Well, what is the gate? The gate is, means that's where all the judgment is done. That's where good common sense is spoken of and talked. You won't have a fool won't open his mouth there. Why? People won't listen to him. Because if you listen to a fool, you're a bigger fool than they are. So how do you avoid that? You stick with God's word, and you don't be envious of that that is wicked, even though it may seem they get ahead. Don't worry. They're looking over their shoulder. IRS is on their case. They're not going anywhere, maybe except to do a little time. You don't want to go there. You want solidity in your life, in your beliefs, in your faith. God will always bless you in that. He will never let you, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you unless you forsake him. That's up to you. It's your ship, you have to sail it. Okay, we just finished the great book of Timothy. Let's go there if we may. I'm sorry, Titus rather. Just finished Titus, and I want to pick up there with the same thought of zealous, envy, and jealousy. To have a warm feeling for good or a warm feeling for bad. And I want to pick it up in verse 11. Verse 11 reads, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus and Philemon and then Hebrews in the New Testament. Little short book. If you're not careful, you'll skip it. The second book from Hebrews, right in front of it. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How many is that? You feel you were left out? You weren't. Okay. Don't ever give me that. God doesn't leave anyone out unless you ask to be left out. He came, he appeared, he died on the cross for everyone whomsoever will. But the will is on your part as to whether he blesses you, whether he leads you, or whether he can use you. That's up to you. It's whether you're committed or not. It's according to how serious you are. But it's there for everyone. That's the beauty and the love of our Father. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's a bad old world. There's a lot out there. Don't let it snake you in. Okay, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I think that's going to be very soon. Sooner than a lot might expect, that second advent. But that's what we look forward to. But then again, you got to be very careful. There, you have been given the stepping stones to that day. You know what's going down, and by that I mean you have to know what transpires before that day so that you don't get caught up in the ways of this world. Because the false one is coming before Christ returns. And you're either going to cut it, you're going to be committed, or you're not. Okay, that's up to you. This gets to be a very serious thing. Because we're talking here, if one of God's elect is not committed and does not make the stand against the false one, that's the unpardonable sin. You know, it would really be a shame if you were chosen in the first earth age and blew it. Right here at the end. That would really be sad. Do I think that's going to happen? No way. I do not believe that will happen. But we do. We all look forward to that time. You can almost sense it. Verse 14. This is why we came here. Who gave himself for us. Are we worth it? I hope so. That he might redeem us. From all iniquity. That means Christianity set you free from all sins at this time. I don't care what it is. He paid the price to redeem all sins. Don't you ever attend a church that will make you a second-class citizen when you've repented and been forgiven. You're a new creature. Don't let anyone. You know something? If you let some people who claim to be Christians claim to come in the name of Christ, chain you or tie you up with past sins, then indeed you've allowed Satan to win. And you've made a mockery of Christ's crucifixion. He paid an awesome price so that on repentance, it's erased. Don't mock him. He was serious. All sins, iniquity is sin. All sins can be forgiven. I don't care what it is. Until the time of the unpardonable sin, which that's after Antichrist appears, it's forgivable. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous. There's our word, okay? Zealous of good works. That means committed to good works. All right? That means there's no other way you would have it, is to be committed to good works, to further. You see, you know what, beloved? There's a lot of lost people in this world today. It's real easy to say, well, who cares? You know, well, I do. But the main thing, a Savior does. A lot of people lost, and man, is it a troubled old world out there, and they need guidance. They need direction. And that's why God chooses His election, is to give that touch and to give that anointing that you can help those that are lost and are starving. And boy, when you are a part of this ministry, and I'm not boasting now, but, and I'm saying this only that there are more people almost joining daily than we can handle. I guess that's good trouble to have. That's wonderful trouble to have. But it is, I'm saying that so you realize the time, the urgency of the time. We're coming to that point, and people out there are reaching out for truth. And He came to forgive all iniquity, all sin. Don't you ever let anyone rob you of that. He wants a peculiar people. He wants a people committed to following Him. Verse 15. These things speak, or you teach, or even preach, if you're called, and exhort. That means to correct, edit, and rebuke with all authority. Why? He gives you that authority. Let no man despise thee. Don't let any man slight you. Why? Because you've got the truth. You don't have to be slighted. You stand your ground. Because you're on sacred ground when you're defending the word of the living God. Do it with authority and the power that He places within you to guide, to lead, to direct. What a precious time to live today when people are so hungry and you can be so useful. I mean, good for something. Committed. Committed to the Word of God. How precious it is to have the Word sent to us that we can analyze, that we can grow into it. And when He begins to bless, then you know you're doing it right. So let Him know you love Him. That's what He wants to hear from you. And then from that comes the power and the authority. All right, now we're going to go on over, if we may, to 1 Peter. Go to the other side of Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. And we're going to go with chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up with verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful. That means have compassion. Be courteous. That's what Christ expects you to be. Verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or riling for riling, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, not volunteered, beloved, called, that ye should inherit a blessing. It's there for you. Have you got yours? Now, you know, you're going to have the type that's going to say, well, God never blesses me. Well, good Lord, no wonder. Okay. You know, you never give him anything to bless you about. You have to let him know. You have to communicate with him. Communicate, communicate. Let him know you love him. He hears you. And he wants you to stick with this word as guidance, as your guider, whereby you're a blessing to all you come in contact with. That is so important at this time because, beloved, they are starving. Not for bread, but for hearing the word of God. As Amos chapter 8 so declares. Verse 9. We got that. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. I mean, you don't want a warm feeling to do evil. You want to try to do what's right. I wish I could say that we're all perfect. We're not. Bad times come along. So what? Grow up. Verse 11. Let him eschew, or you avoid, evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You hunt for it. You look for it. You work for it. Peace what? Peace of mind. Otherwise, you're one miserable, messed up wreck. You want peace of mind. That comes from loving Christ. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You got that? Listen to it. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want to get cut off. It's real easy. All you have to do is not follow his orders. Now, what did that say? There was a qualifier there. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. If you're not, that means you're trying to do what's right. And I said trying. I wish I could say all of us do exactly right. We don't. Okay. You know, when your feet is as big as mine are, you're going to get on somebody's toes sooner or later, and that's good. You know, if they love you, they'll forgive you, all right? And otherwise, hey, God will. And that's what's important. But God hears the righteous. You don't get a better loving Father than that, beloved. That he cares about you. And that he will hear you. But at the same time, if you think negative and you go against him, he cuts you off. And that is a sad state of affairs in this generation. Verse 13, here's why we came here. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers or committed of that which is good? Who would dare harm you quite away? You know why? Who do you think is your strong right arm? He promises, I watch over the righteous. I'll thump somebody's gourd if they mess with them. And you can count on it. He will. That's absolute. How precious our Father is to those that are righteous. That means trying. Standing for the good, not the evil. Verse 14, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. If they scoff at the Lord's word, don't worry about it, right? They're hell bound. You sure don't want to join them, do you? No way. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Where's that? Your mind. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. You be humble about it. Don't be bragging about it. And fear. That means with respect. And have that answer. Well, pray tell me, how do I do that? You study God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It's a starving world out there. They want to know. And you have the answers. Don't you hold them back. Don't you hide your candle under a bushel. Well, you don't understand, brother. I'm not a preacher. I didn't say you were. God didn't say you were, but God uses everyone. He came for all. And do you know something? Maybe you could classify me as a teacher, I suppose. But you can reach people I can't. Okay? Because they love you. You can plant a seed that I can't plant. That's why God has you. I don't know why He would, but He does. He's got you, friend, because He need you're a part of the family. I shouldn't jest about that, okay? But the Irish, it's too close to St. Patty's Day, you know, to not jest a little bit. But be that as it may, okay? Have an answer. Not just any answer. Answer from God's Word. Show yourself. Study and show yourself approved, rightly dividing this Word, whereby you can share it. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. We got that. And verse 16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. Someday they will. It doesn't matter, you know. When you know you're right, you're right. The end of story. You don't have to worry about what wicked people think. It just doesn't matter. You still have compassion for them, hoping that they heard a word, that they heard Christ in the Scripture that you brought forth, and that He touches them and brings them into the fold. You see, He can change minds that you can't. Verse 17, to complete our reading here. For it is better, if the will of God be so, if it's God's will, in other words, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's just a whole lot better. And so it is. Our Father leads, He guides, and He directs. You know, again, when you suffer for good, what? You got heaven made. You've got eternity made. You've got God's blessings. You have the protection of the Holy Spirit in your life. He watches over you. He can take care of things you can't. And He takes care of business. And He will always lead you and guide you when you follow Him. When you are, I'll say it, committed to Him. That's what's important. Be committed to Him, because He's such a blessing to your brothers and sisters that are lost. And they need help. They need it desperately in this troubled time. Truth is so valuable. It truly is, especially at this time. There's another place that Paul would teach in 2 Corinthians. Let's go there, chapter 11. We're all kind of familiar with this, but I want the commitment at this time especially. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians follows 1 Corinthians. Or something like that. I'm trying to be helpful, you know. Does that sound a little condescending? I didn't mean it to be. I'm joshing, okay? Committed is so very important. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, listen carefully. Let me correct first. The words to God are not in the original manuscripts. So I will read over that, and you can underline it and realize it wasn't there. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, would you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. I want you to know what's really deep down in my heart. I have a commitment about this. It's important. Verse 2. For I am jealous. That's zealous. Zealates. That means I have a warm feeling to steer you correctly over you with godly jealousy, with a godly desire to steer you right, to see that you're committed, for I'm committed to you. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's what he's concerned. The most troubling thing he's got to be committed over, that jealousy. 3, but I fear, I'm really afraid of this, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled, that's expatio, wholly seduced Eve through his subtlety. You can check that out in the Greek manuscripts. That's what it says. So your minds, that's your little thought process, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Why? Because of false teachings. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, other than the Holy Spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You swallow it hook, line, and sinker is what he's talking about. Somebody comes along with another, you don't have to understand God's word, you're going to fly away. Okay. Better be careful. That's what Paul is talking about. You're not. No one's going anywhere. You're either going to be committed and make a stand against the false one, or you're not. Okay, period. Verse 4. For if he cometh, that we got that, okay. 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. You got a lot of super preachers out there, and I guess, you know, he said, I'm as good a scholar as they are. Verse 6, he's not bragging now, he's just leveling with you. But though I be rude in speech, he was a little crude sometimes, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. I've proved it to you over and over and over, is what he's saying. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived as Eve was. He's sharp, he's slick, he's convincing. Have I committed, verse 7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? 8, I didn't take up any offerings, in other words. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. That's the way I want it. I'm not complaining. I like it. Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. I'm going to bring this truth forward about the serpent. I don't care what they say. And the seduction of Eve. It's going to happen. Wherefore, beloved, I love you not. God, because I love you not, God knoweth I do. Verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. This means you take the word of God. And when somebody comes along bringing another gospel, you have the truth. You jerk the rug right out from under them. You leave them standing out in space. For that's what they build on. And stick with the word of God. He's saying, I do not want you deceived in that final generation. Verse 13, for such are false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You see, I want you to be real careful and I want you to do your homework. They didn't transform themselves into apostles of Christ. The manuscripts say they disguised themselves as apostles of Christ. They're false. They're fake. And they will lead you to hell's door if you listen to them. Verse 14, and no marvel, don't let that bother you, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I've heard many people say, oh, praise God, he's going to convert Satan. How ignorant can you be? Again, the word transformed is disguised. That's why he's worried about you losing your virginity, spiritually speaking. He's coming disguised as Christ himself. He's coming, Satan is coming disguised as good, but he is bad. And you must be committed against evil and do what is good. You know, the simplicity in which Christ teaches is just too simple for some people, I guess. It's not for you. You know the truth. You jerk the rug right out from under anybody that tries to tell you, don't teach God's word like that. You're going to fly away. It's not even in God's word. Okay. So you don't have to worry about it. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They come disguised by, Jesus sent me, whose end shall be according to their works. And so it is that God uses people. God uses people in a very good way if they'll listen to him, if they'll let him touch them with this word of truth, whereby you have that truth, the true gospel, knowing and understanding that a starving, hungry world needs that truth. Now let's update this right to the present time. Turn with me in the Minor Prophets, right after the book of Hosea. I guess I am being condescending today, okay? Sorry about that. In the Minor Prophets, book of Joel. You all know chapter 2, Joel. It talks about the swarm of the locusts that are coming. It talks about many things that we will go through. It's happening now. That's why you want to be very careful. We're going to pick it up all the way down to verse 18, because that's our subject. And it reads, verse 18, chapter 2, the book of Joel. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and will pity his people. God will be committed to the land and his people. And so it is that our Father has those warm feelings toward you. Verse 19, yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. This is future. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, that's the locust army, and will drive him into the land barren and desolate, the desert, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Thought he did, swarmed all over. Devoured all over, consumed all over. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Beloved, I want you to believe that. I want you to know it. We're coming into some troubled times. We're about to go into Passover. We're going to go a lot more into this. And you got to know, our Father is with us. He protects us. He leads us. He guides us. You have nothing to worry about other than not understanding the hour, the time, and what's coming down. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. This is one of the reasons the false one will come in prosperously and peacefully. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. You understand a little bit of what's happened and what the past is, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And so it is that we leave it there. God is a jealous God. You know, even Elijah went out one day and he said, I am jealous because for God. I'm committed. And storms came by. God wasn't in the storm. I'm quoting from 1 Kings chapter 19. and an earthquake came by, he would still say, I'm jealous for God. I'm committed to Him. God wasn't in it. And then, after all these things, a soft, low voice. And God took care of Elijah. That soft, low voice speaks many things in the latter rain. Always thank your Father. Be jealous for Him. Committed. Committed to the living God. Sold out. All His to be used as He so chooses. It's a precious thing to be committed. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the written Word. Thank You, Father, for Your direction. Thank You, Father, for the Holy Spirit as He guides us, leads us, and directs us in these times. In Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Mark of the Beast on